back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And I was looking for a John Lee Hooker song, Margaret, called Annie May.
Well, I heard what Nikki said, that it's going to fluster me. I don't like being taken advantage of that. Nikki is a female. It's just she understands.
Well, what do you mean? You sound like you're a blues fan.
I am very much a blues fan. I'm also very much a John Lee Hooker fan. And if you must know...
Oh, don't know. No, don't say it.
What? Excuse me. Say what?
Please don't tell us that you slept with John Lee Hooker.
I'm not going to say that. How dare you?
Well, we can tell. Margaret, we know you've got a story to tell.
You don't say you slept with John Lee Hooker.
I did not sleep with John Lee Hooker. But I could have.
Oh, God.
Well, what is that? Oh, boy, you guys are really begging for it tonight.
Well, Margaret, John Lee Hooker to me is a giant. He's a legend. There's nothing against you. I just don't want to think of him as sleeping around and...
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, to have to disabuse you of the notion.
Well, you don't know that for a fact, and I don't... You know what? I don't want to... Speaking of being sued, that's why we have Harvey Wehrman on the line here, folks. Because Harvey is going to be talking to us about the possibility of a libel action being brought by, as Harvey calls him, Woody Allen.
So, making fun of the old man, huh?
Hey, let's not change the subject about John Lee Hooker. Now, what's the story?
Well, Phil, don't interrogate me like I'm some punk out of off the street and you're a cop.
What's the story?
I met him. You know that I sang some studio backup work back in the day in New York. I met him. We all went out to dinner that night, had a great time, and I noticed that there was some tension between the two of us.
Oh, my ass. My ass.
General, how dare you?
No, I'm sorry. My bare ass. I don't believe it. I refuse. I'm like Phil. I admire John Lee Hooker. And you saying that you almost, that there was tension, my bare
ass?
Yes.
All right.
What's that mean, anyway?
In other words, I'm putting my ass up as collateral against her line of horse dung.
I didn't say I slept with John Lee Hooker. I said there was tension in the room.
And I'm telling you, I'm putting my ass up as collateral.
Okay. Well,
I guess the conversation's over there, isn't it?
Over there?
I mean, over then.
General, your move.
Well, that's my that's my lockout, and I saw someone comment on that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were giving our various lockouts. Yours is I'm Margaret Gray. And I forget what mine was, but yours, General, was I'm General Galen Shaw, your move.
Well, what do you find funny about that?
General, you're supposed to say I'm General Galen Shaw.
Well, mine is I'm General Galen Shaw, your move. Well, you can laugh all you want, laughing boy.
Well, to me it's funny. All right, we do have, I forget who else we were talking to.
Well, I think we were talking to, I was going to say, I'm Robert. What's my last name?
Last name's Leonard. God, what a moron. You don't even know your last name.
Shut up, man. I'm thinking ahead of what my lockout's going to be. I'm Robert Leonard, and that's the way it is.
You can't do that. That was Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite said that's the way it is.
Yeah, why can't I do it?
Well, you can, but it's not exactly an original lockout. You know, Walter Cronkite had a great lockout, and that's the way it is. Da-da-da-da, give the date. I'm Walter Cronkite. Good night.
Well, didn't he say, that's the way it is, then he gave his name.
It doesn't matter, it's still his. What's yours, Bud?
I'm Bud Dickman. We'll be back tomorrow, and then I'll say something different.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm Bud Dickman, we'll be back tomorrow, and then I'll say something. I love that, but I love you, Bud.
Well.
That's good, Bud.
What about you?
I'm Phil Henry. Thank you, God bless, and let's drink. How about that?
Oh, that's beneath you. That's beneath you.
It makes you sound like you're an Irish thug. Let's drink.
Oh, I see. But I'm General Galen Shaw, your move.
Oh, I don't know why you find that funny.
It's just great. I don't find it funny so much as I'm blown away by how magnificent it is. All right. Harvey Wehrman joins us, and God forbid I would ask Harvey, I guess I ought to ask Harvey, what are you, If you were to lock out on this show with your own, what would it be? If you were to lock out on the show with your own personal, you know, signature, we call it a lockout. Remember Paul Harvey used to say, Paul Harvey, good day?
Oh, yeah. Well, Paul Harvey, he was one of the, he was an original Paul Harvey. But I would simply say, I'm Paul Harvey, you know, good day.
You're not Paul, no, you're locking out as Harvey Weinman.
I'm locking out as Harvey Weinman. Well, I don't know what that means.
You're, okay, never mind.
No, I know, yeah. You know, well, I would say I'm Harvey Weinman, and I'm not, I'd say I'm not Paul Harvey, I'm Harvey Weinman. How's that?
That's great, that's great.
Love it, love it, can't live without it.
I like it.
All right, it's unanimous. So what about this guy, Woody Allen?
All right, we're talking with Harvey Weinman about Woody Allen and discussing the possibility that he can sue for libel, and I think it's a fair question. If what he says is true, and in your experience, do you have any comment on that?
On whether what he's saying is true, and I have no comment. I wouldn't. Phil, I'm a lawyer, and until I see every ounce of fact in this case laid out in front of me in meticulous fashion, and every single solitary piece of testimony laid out in front of me, and every single solitary piece of physical evidence, and the timeline, and the testimony of individuals that may have knowledge of these events, I will not, nor can I, make any statement as to the veracity or lack thereof.
So that's when you would go out and begin to amass that information, right?
When I would go out and do what?
When you'd go out and amass and gather that information.
No, I didn't say I'd go out and get it. I said until I see it. But that's pretty funny. You think I'm going to get out of bed on a Saturday morning and go out and hump that stuff? No. No, you've got a whole, your brother, you need an education on Harvey Weinman. I don't get out of bed before 12 o'clock unless it is signed, sealed, and delivered. And I don't do that. I've got a group of what do you want to call, operatives. I have a...
Get like a private detective like they done had in Matlock and everything?
Do I have a, what did he say?
Do you have a private investor? You have guys like that working for you?
Oh, yeah. We contract with a bunch of different guys. Mike Billing and, I don't want to say their names because they're incognito.
Incognito?
Yeah, incognito. But no, I don't, I won't get out of bed. I don't crawl out of bed for anything other than an absolute sure win. And if someone gets me out of bed for a loss, I go right back to bed. And I don't wake up until someone guarantees me a win. So I've been in a coma. I'm kidding.
All right, so what about Woody Allen and his chances of filing a libel action against Mia Farrow?
I think he'd be a moron to do it. I think that there's no win in that. There's no win at all. And that's why he hasn't done it. Because... you can't prove it, Phil. You can say that it isn't true, and you can say that she trumped up the charges. You can say that she has invented these charges. But how do you actually prove, even if they're not true? And you have your opinion, I have mine. You got to prove that she is the one that instigated, built, constructed, and endorsed. In the mind of this daughter, this odious tale, and that she reinforced it over time, and that she was the primary motivator to the life of this lie. It seems impossible to me. I wouldn't touch it with a ten. I wouldn't touch it with your lips. And
all right. So it's an impossibility.
What does that mean? You wouldn't touch it with his lips,
Margaret? You know something? You ask all these questions. I gotta say, I love you and I love your husband. You're a pain in the ass sometimes.
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? You are a pain in the ass with your questions. Just let me talk, okay? Because I'm going down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I know Frank's gonna be there.
Well, now Frank Gray is no one to trifle with.
Hey! Frank Gray is a great lawyer. But I'm the big dog on the block, right?
Yes, right.
All right.
Wow.
You know something? He's a bully.
Oh, come on, will you? You know the guy as well as I do. He's going to say what he's going to say. And what are you, Margaret? You going to muscle him? He's Harvey Weirman. He's one of the heavy hitters in town, okay? He's bigger than Frank. He's bigger than Ted. He's bigger than anybody. He was bigger than Johnny Cochran. Even Johnny Cochran said that Harvey Weirman was untouchable.
Well, God rest Johnny's soul.
Harvey loved Johnny. But Harvey's one of the bad boys. You can't go near him, okay? And he's a pretty fair guy, but he's senile, you know.
I was going to say, his mind is coming unglued.
Yeah, Harvey's brain is coming apart. There's no question about it. But still, even in the state that he's in, he can still, size things up pretty good.
I don't like some of the stuff the old man says.
All right, well, then you tell him yourself, okay?
Yeah, you tell him, because we're not going to tell him.
Yeah, you tell him.
Okay, I guess it's unanimous that I tell him. All these big, strong men, but I'll tell him. No problem. Why don't you stick it up?
All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. Every single solitary show with you, man. It never ends, Margaret.
I show up to work. I don't show up here to lick someone's ass.
Wow. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Wow. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. And we have a song here, Margaret, I'm told that you will love.
A song that I love?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is recommended by our close personal friend, Miss McKee. She says this is something. Now, I know you're a John Lee Hooker fan, right?
Oh, anime. How dare you play this song?
I need you night and day.
Oh, I know. This is a great song.
How dare you play this song? This
Anime.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what are you doing? Anime.
Oh.
Would you not do that, please?
Oh.
Would you not do that, Margaret? Anime.
Margaret, you're rubbing your... She's rubbing herself.
To ever leave
Turn
me
it by
off,
myself.
Bud.
I can't...
Turn it off, bud.
The knob won't budge.
Blow it up.
Anime.
Tear it off. Do something, man, but turn it off. She's rubbing herself on the table.
Leave me oh, God.
Turn it on!
What are you doing, man?
I couldn't do it.
Where'd the music go? Where did it go?
Margaret, you're acting like an animal.
I'm acting like an animal. Do you? Here it is.
Oh, God.
Ooh!
My God, it's like something out of the jungle.
Margaret, please don't do that on the brand new table that we just waxed.
Oh, God.
You. I can't live without you.
This, oh God, I remember this. Oh God, do I remember this? Oh.
Okay, will you knock it off?
The cellar door, 1987. Oh.
Well, you want me to re-wax the table tomorrow?
Okay, thank you very much. That John Lee Hooker, Annie Mae.
Like I don't know it. Like I don't know this song backwards and forwards. When he sang this song, you can say what you want. When he sang this song at the cellar door, 1987, he was looking straight at me.
Oh, no.
Oh, bullcrap.
Turn it off. Turn
when
the music
you're gone,
off.
When you're gone.
Turn that filth off. Turn the filth. Thank you.
What do you mean, turn the filth off?
He ruined the mood. He ruined it.
How did I ruin the mood?
Oh, bullcrap. You talk about senile, General.
Oh, Margaret, you're acting like some sort of a banshee in heat. You're rubbing yourself all over everything.
I was listening to the music. I'm a woman. Don't ever forget that. I'm a woman.
Yeah, you're grossing everybody out and everything like that.
Don't you wish you knew the things that I'm feeling as a woman? I'm W-O-M-I-N. Woman. I mean W-O-M...
W-O-M...
I said W-O-M-A-N.
No, W-O-M-E-N.
No, that's plural. I'm woman. W-O-M-U-N or...
W-O-M-A-N. God Almighty.
You know, General, it occurs to me that you must be jealous or something. I think you've got a thing for me.
Yes, I do. I do have a thing for you. It's called a euthanasia table.
Turn the filth. Turn the garbage. Turn that stinking, filthy racial...
Oh, man. Where did she go?
She walked out.
Boy, she went from being in love with John Lee Hooker to calling it dirty, filthy, racial.
I've I've never been more insulted in my life.
You said I had a thing for you.
Yes, and you said it was a euthanasia table.
You, anime.
Yes, but it was funnier when I said it.
It's my pride and joy.
Yeah.
How dare you go yeah to John Lee Hooker's music? Only I can feel the rhythm and the blues and the low and the low-down blues. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, Margaret.
Yeah, I know, Margaret. Yeah, I know, Margaret.
You know, Phil, I hope the day comes when you truly do appreciate this music and you just don't, and you don't just play it for the, to be a big shot in your apartment complex. God, I hate it when you laugh at me.
Well, John Lee Hooker's laughing at you.
John Lee Hooker is...
All right, Margaret. All right, enough of that nonsense.
Stop.
No, enough of it. Okay, turn it down, bud. So you like John Lee Hooker. I mean, I like John Lee Hooker, too, you know, but I'm not rubbing myself in the table leg.
You know something, Phil? It wasn't anything you had to point out to the audience. How dare you?
Margaret, everybody's seen it in here, and it's grossing everybody out.
Well, isn't that too bad, little boy, that you're grossed out by a woman? Woman.
Yeah.
No, I want all of you to understand something. I'm a woman, and when I hear music that motivates, inspires, and yes, even begins to pulse the very blood through my heart, you're all going to just have to sit there and take it. Because I'm a woman. Yes, W-O. Don't do it, Phil.
All right, I was going to help you.
W-O-M-U-N-A-N.
Yes.
Look at them. They're all, ladies and gentlemen, all four of them are going, what children?
Margaret, yeah, there she goes, you know.
Margaret, the white owls are in your car.
What?
The cigars are in your car.
Thank you.
It's funny because, you know, she can't spell woman, but that's what she is, W-O-M-A-N.
Yeah, and then she's all, you know, I'm a woman. What's that mean?
Because she digs the music, that's fine. All right. You know, women are going to be, women are going to be women. You got to just get out of the way when they're doing that.
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
Get out of the way when they're doing it, man. That's all I can tell you. When a woman is going to be a woman, just either, you know, get in line and start, you know, partying along with her or get out of the way because they're going to do what they're going to do. And if she wants to dance to the music, you know, all I'm asking is that...
I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Well, good, Margaret, because all I'm asking you is if you want to, you know, get down with John Lee Hooker, do me a favor and don't hike your skirt up and rub yourself on the table.
I didn't do anything of the sort. That is absolute libel. Get my husband on the phone, please.
Good, good. I hope. You want to sue me?
I'll talk to my husband, thank you. Get my husband on the phone, please.
Good. You going to sue me?
Get my husband on the phone, please.
Let's get Frank on the phone so we can hear him talk about she and he and he and she.
You're really jealous, aren't you, Phil?
Yeah, that's it, Margaret. I'm jealous. Why do you got to make a big controversial thing out of this? Okay, all I said was, well, you heard what I said.
Yes, about 19 times.
Yeah, I got Frank Gray on the phone. Whenever you was ready to talk to Frank Gray, he's on the phone. Hey, Frank? Yeah, Margaret was rubbing herself on the table and everything.
give me that phone, you animal. Frank.
Yeah, Frank Gray. Well, Margaret, what's going on?
Frank, I was here listening to John Lee Hooker's Annie Mae.
Oh, God almighty.
What is your problem?
Margaret, you know what happens every time you hear her sing that song. Every time you hear her sing that, you know what you do. You start rubbing yourself on tables. God.
Well, is Phil Hendry allowed to mock me while I do that?
Well, you can. How can you blame her? She's going to laugh, and so are the other guys in the room. They're all going to laugh, too. But if you're listening to John Lee Hooker singing Annie Mae about a woman that she loved, and there you are rubbing yourself on everything that isn't nailed down, of course she's going to laugh and sing and dance and play, or whatever she did.
We're talking about Phil right now.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, he didn't dance and sing and play.
Well, but see, Margaret... Understand something, darling. I love you. But every time we have every time we have people over for cocktails on a Friday evening with the pool lights on and the sound of the whippoorwill, I don't even know what I'm talking about now.
All right, tell you what. Why don't you hang up? Hang on. Don't hang up.
Okay. Goodbye.
Why did you tell him to hang up?
I meant to say hang on. Call him back. What is it with him and the whippoorwill?
He's talking about when we have people over to entertain. It's what we do. We like to have people over. We had Salman Rushdie over 2 years ago.
Wow.
Well, if you knew how to read, Bud, you'd know what that meant.
All right, Margaret, I know you do entertaining. I'm just saying that, we have to take a break. We'll get Greg back on the line. Oh, my God, what a night. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, back with Frank Gray, and Margaret now wants to sue me because she's the one that was taking the polish off the table dancing to Annie Mae. Wow. Man. Welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret, this is the song you sang on?
Yes, I sang on this song with Ellen Foley back in the late 1980s. This is 1979 in New York. And this is me and Ellen Foley singing on this song.
And this is who?
This is Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh.
Who's Blue Oyster Cult?
Would you shut up, please?
Quiet, bud.
There's me and Ellen right there.
Oh, yeah. Is that you, Margaret? That sounds wonderful.
Thank you, General.
Hey, I don't know about a cult.
It's not a cult, Bud. God, you know, Bud, damn you to hell. I'm trying to listen to my music.
You said it's a cult.
All right, turn it down. I like that song, too. It's one of my favorite Blue Oyster Cult songs, Margaret. I didn't know you were on that song, but...
Well, it was Frank got me the gig. I was very young, and you know Frank's a good deal older than me.
Yeah.
What? Bud, watch it.
Bud.
Now, what was your problem?
You said it's a cult.
That's the name of the band, you clown. The Blue Oyster Cult.
It doesn't make any difference. What they've said that cults do to you...
Look at you, moron. It's a band. It ain't a cult. So don't put it together with cults. It's got nothing to do with Jim Jones or Blue Oysters. Why, do you think it's a cult that worships Blue Oysters? Is that it?
What?
Well, Bud, we're asking you a question, you numbskull. Do you think that the Blue Oyster Cult is a cult that worships oysters?
Your voice is cracking, General.
I'm sorry.
Give him some water. Is that what you think, Bud?
No, just you were the one that was talking about a cult.
I was talking to you idiots about the Jim Jones and those guys. Man, nothing to do with a band. All right, Harvey Wireman on the line with us from San Marino, California, as we continue this very fractured, but nonetheless, we press ahead. The conversation we're having here about the Woody Allen, the possibility of a, excuse me, a libel action. You made a very good point there, Harvey, before we went to the break. You said that it would not make much sense tactically... strategically to sue his daughter for libel. But you also made the point that the person that you would sue, Mia Farrow, is almost a sure loss.
Well, yeah, and the reason why I say it's a sure loss is because you have to prove. You can say, it's an easy thing to say in public, well, Mickey Farrow or Mila Farrow, what is her name again, Phil? I'm sorry.
Mia Farrow.
Yeah, you can say Mia Farrow is doing, what am I doing here? I thought Frank was going to be on the line.
Oh, yeah, what happened to Frank?
Where's my husband, please?
Did we call you back?
Yeah, someone called me back and said that you were just having a conversation with me, and I know that you weren't because you hung up on me.
It's Frank. Great. Where's Frank?
I hung up on him.
Get him back.
Yes, I want to talk to my husband about suing you. That's right.
Thank you very much, Harvey. Harvey?
It sounds like he fell asleep.
Yeah, okay, just...
Frank? All right, I've got to call Frank back.
You know something, Bud? If your brain wasn't inside your head, you'd have it in a playpen someplace, swinging it as a mobile and...
Well, I don't even understand what you said. Yeah, Frank.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Hey, is this the Henry Show?
Yeah, Frank.
Well, what the hell happened? I was just talking to my wife, and all of a sudden I'm talking to Dickman again, and she says that you guys wanted to talk to me, and I said, well, I was talking to Henry, and she said, hang on, and then I'm talking to Dickman, and she says, what happened to you?
Frank, they hung up on you by mistake, and they got Harvey on the line.
Well, I got better things to do than pull it and paddle it and look at it and paddle it some more. You understand? I got better things to do than do that to her.
Her?
I have a nickname for my...
All right, Frank, we don't have to go there. The question is, Phil said that I rubbed the furniture raw listening to Anime by John Lee Hooker. Now, I know you know that I know... No, you know what I do or what I did do.
Let me tell the story. Do you mind, Margaret?
But what I'm saying, Frank, I know...
Let me tell the story. Do you mind, Margaret?
No, I don't mind, Frank.
Thank you. All right, so anyway, he's at the cellar door. Margaret and I went. He had, we'd been in New York off and on, Phil. As you know, he just played for you, the Blue Meanie Band, the Blue Oyster Cult. Now,
who's the Blue Meanie Band?
That was my nickname for them because Buck Dharma, I used to say to her, you know, Buck, you play one hell of a guitar, but naming bands ain't exactly up your main address, you know. And she looked at me and kind of went, ha, 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 and gave me the finger. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I said to Margaret, let's go to the cellar door. We were in New York, and he said, okay. And so we go to the cellar, John Lee Hooker. Well, I love her, and Margaret does too. So we go in. We get two ringside seats for John Lee Hooker. I order a couple of umbrella drinks, and it's going to be a nice romantic night, and me and him together, you know, one of the few nights that we have, because we were both very busy in those days. But I wanted to be with my wife. I wanted to just be me and him and no one excuse me. So out comes John Lee Hooker, a real blues man. I mean, John Lee Hooker is the authentic deal. And when you're sitting there with your wife, it's just you and him, and out she comes. I'm telling you, this stuff is better. So she immediately launches into Anime, and he gets up and starts rubbing himself all over the table. And now you're looking at your wife, and of course, I love him. He's my wife. Am I going to tell him to sit down? I ask you, Phil, is that what I'm going to do?
Well, I mean, was she drunk?
Oh, sure he was drunk. He was loaded right up to the gills. He was loaded right up to his ears. And I shouldn't say this, but he was, I'm sorry, Margaret, but he popped a couple of Quaaludes.
That is wrong, Frank.
Sorry, So we're there, and he's had a few drinks. He popped a couple of Quaaludes before we... Excuse me, I'm just...
You all right? You want a drink?
Do I want a drink? No, I'm fine. Shaw's the one that needs the drink.
I don't need a drink. What makes you think I need a drink?
Well, I was listening to her going, doing something with the voice. Is she all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, General, but... So, John Lee Hooker launches into Anime. Well, Margaret loves that song, and I do too. It's a great bluesy song, and he jumps up and starts hunching the table leg, hunching bar stools, rubbing the cigarette machine. God almighty, I thought it wouldn't end. I mean, he's all the way out the front door to a cab sitting at the corner and then back in again, and there wasn't one object that wasn't nailed down that he didn't try to make love to all the way back to our table. Meanwhile, John Lee... I've got a little bit of an allergy. Meanwhile, John Lee Hooker hasn't taken her eyes off of him, staring with those big, wide, bugged-out eyes like she's just seen a ghost.
That does it.
What's the matter with you, Phil?
Nothing.
Well, I better hang up because I know what's going to happen now. He's going to come home, and, man, it's going to be Katie bar the door.
You hung up.
Yeah. Margaret.
That was uncalled for, Phil. You go, yoo-hoo-hoo. You laugh like a child.
Well, I can't help it. Your husband tells a funny story. He tells a funny story. You rubbed yourself on everything that wasn't nailed down right out the front door down to a cab.
Yes, I found myself down at the end of the block, and then I turned around and came back.
And as you were coming back, you just went ahead and rubbed yourself and everything?
All right, I'm getting up again and leaving.
Margaret, you can't keep going out and coming back and going out and coming back.
Really? Watch me.
All right, so thank you, Frank. Excuse me. Interesting story, seeing John Lee Hooker there in New York, lo, these many years ago. I don't yet know, nor have I any great desire to know, what the medal count is at the Winter Olympics, although I'm sure I'm going to get interested. One of the things about the Olympics is you're waiting for the big story, you know? You're waiting for the big story?
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, it isn't so much, who won the biathlon or who's winning. You're waiting for the interesting story of some guy who started out life with only one leg, and now he's won the International Hopscotch Championship or something like that, you know. You're frowning, bud.
Well, it's kind of tasteless to say it that way.
Well, I said it that way, okay? I said it that way, and the more you guys criticize me for the things I do, I'm going to redouble my efforts at saying those very things until you guys can't possibly criticize anymore. Do you understand?
I mean,
do you understand, Robert? Do you understand, General?
Why, yes, Bill. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong.
I just, when you guys start laying into me about stuff, I'm going to do it even more. So your criticism will have the effect of making it happen more. If you want it to happen less, then just keep your mouth shut, and I'll stop doing it.
I keep my mouth shut about your face, and it's still there.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Ow! Ow, you hurt me.
I didn't even touch you.
He never touched you, bud. Quit trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
All right. So what I was saying, I believe is true. So you're waiting for the story. And it could be any kind of a story. Will the hockey team win again? I don't know. You know, all of those traditional storylines are sort of we're now the bad boy in the block, America. Or who's the big winter force now?
Well, the big winter force now is like Norway or something, man, or Sweden.
Yes, yeah, Sweden is like the badass, isn't it? Or Russia. But I got to tell you, if there's one thing about the Cold War I miss, it was the Olympics. The Cold War made the Olympics fantastic. I mean, it just made the Olympics fantastic. It was always the big bad commies versus America. And it was the West versus the East because, you know, we had West Germany and all of our little guys. And Russia had, Hungary and Czechoslovakia and all their guys. And East Germany. East Germany was badass. East Germany in track was badass. East Germany, as a matter of fact, every time anybody wanted to say anything about how blacks were superior when it came to speed and running because of their physiology, all you had to do was look at East Germany. East Germany used to kick our ass in the sprint, in track and field, especially in track events like the 100 meters or the, you know, some of these semi-long distances, the relays, etc. The East Germans used to kick our ass, all a bunch of white guys, all a bunch of white boys kicking ass on all of America's African-American athletes. Yeah, we had our wins. But the fact is, if you had any ridiculous, asinine notion about all of that old school, you know, black people are faster thing, all you had to do was look at these East Germans. They were nuts, you know.
Well, a lot, and I'm back, by the way.
I ought to, by all rights, kick you out.
And why is that?
Because you're getting up and leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back and leaving.
Well, I'm back now to make this point, and your listeners should know this. Yes, the East Germans were good, but you talk about doping, Phil.
All right, I mean, yes, there was all of that. But who the hell says we weren't? You talk about the East Germans doping. They also had a scandal involving East German women. Were they actually women or were they men? You know, they literally had this argument. I think they even gave them full physicals to make sure they had female organs. And then the argument, of course, was made, well, they had sex change operation. I'm telling you that it got bizarre. But, because the East Germans were incredible. Fast. Good God almighty. And then you got the Russians in the field events. They kicked ass. Pole vault, high jump. Anybody remember the name? Probably you're too young to remember the name Valerie Brumel. Valerie Brumel was the high jump champion of the world, man. and was a consistent gold medal winner. And they had the hammer throw. And the Russians and the East Germans and all of those little satellite countries of Bulgaria, this, and Romania, that. Who doesn't remember them in gymnastics? From Olga Korbut to Nadia Comăneci, from Nadia Comăneci from Romania, she was just a force unto herself, man. This little 14-year-old chick, she kicked ass. So the Cold War was it was a scary time. It was a tense time. It was a potentially violent and devastating time. But when it came to the Olympics, man, it was something. It was something. It was a real blood feud. And it came down. It came down to ugly things. I mean, the basketball in '72, where everybody thinks the Russians just cheated their asses off and got the extra second on the clock and beat our guys. I think it was the first time we'd lost in basketball. To the hockey win in 1980, the miracle on ice. I mean, it was for sport anyway, and for just the sheer fun of the event. Man, you couldn't beat it. Couldn't beat it at all.
Might have been worth the nuclear war.
Might have. Might have. World famous Phil Henry Show. We got to take a break. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. My close personal friend, young Miss McKee, has just said, either you get out of this break, Henry, or I'm going to fly to L.A. and do some damage. And so we'll be right back. Welcome back, folks, the world famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know about anybody else. I've had a good time tonight, you know.
Well, you're having a good time at other people's expense, Phil.
Oh, is that right, Margaret?
Yeah, why don't you quit crying about it?
Why don't you quit crying about it?
Oh, you know, you got to just, some days, Margaret, as our dear father said, some days you get the bear and the other days...
The bears bite you on the ass.
The bears?
Yeah, the bears, multiple, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you ought to know about that.
You know something? Hey!
Watch it.
Ow!
When he goes ow and I don't touch him, I can sue him for that, can't I?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ow!
What's that?
For Margaret.
Okay, Nikki's got a message for you, Margaret.
From my great-grandmother beyond the grave.
Yes?
Myrtle McKee. Quit your bitching.
Now, Nikki, I can get on an airplane as fast as you can, and I can be in Washington, D.C. in 4 hours. I can make a beeline directly to the studio and slap your little mouth for that.
Come at me, bro.
Oh. You know what? I'll come there and rub myself.
Hey, turn that off, will you?
I thought we needed harmonica music.
You know, Margaret, there are days
when you... You want to be a scissor sister?
You know, I did time. I did time. Not a long time, but I've been in a jail cell. I've been caged heat. Understand?
I've been caged heat.
What are you laughing at?
You know what I'm laughing at. See, this is what bothers me, man. I had a whole great story to tell here about something. I forget what.
All right.
No, that's okay. All right, so that's that. And let's just hope. Well, we were talking about the Olympics and, you know, all of that crap. But we will have the medal count, I guess, at some point. I don't know, man. Who knows? You know, I can't even tell you how we did in the last Winter Olympics. I can't even tell you how we did in the last Summer Olympics. I don't know, you know.
How come you ain't paying attention to it?
Because there isn't a Cold War at stake. Phil only likes it if a nuclear war is threatened.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. No, but we will definitely. I've been to an Olympic Games, all right? How many of you guys have? I don't think so. None of you. Have you, General?
No, I have never been to the Olympics, although I almost went to the Montreal Olympics, but in the last minute, something came up, and so I had to stay home.
Well, what came up?
Well, I got married.
You got married. That's what came up.
Yes, something inconvenient came up.
Have you been to one, Margaret?
No, I've never been to one. I almost went to the 84 games, but I didn't go because Frank didn't want me to go because... Oh, I know why. There was a gang war. They thought there was going to be some gang war on the freeway, and it never happened.
Yeah, I went to the 84 games, and I remember that whole prediction that there would be a gang war, that there would be... they were afraid, folks, in the 1984 Olympic Games here in L.A., they were afraid that there would be gangs that would come up onto the freeway from the mean streets below and, you know, rob people in their cars, and the people couldn't go anywhere because they were stuck in traffic jams. I mean, every kind of nightmare scenario that you could imagine was predicted for the 84 Olympics. In fact, what happened in the 84 Olympics was some payback. The United States boycotted the 80 Olympics that were held in Moscow, and the reason was because Russia had invaded Afghanistan. And it was this was President Carter's baby. He led this this charge to boycott the 80 Olympics because of the invasion of Afghanistan. So I suppose we should have expected that 4 years later, when the Olympics were held in Los Angeles, that the Russians would pull the same thing, and they did. The Russians boycotted the 84 Games because they said that the United States could not guarantee the security of their athletes, because the U.S. was a violent, gang-riddled, gang-ridden wasteland, a Mad Max horror story, and they wanted no part of it whatsoever.
1 minute.
And so the Russians stayed away. The Chinese didn't. And so the 84 Olympics turned into not so much America versus the Russians as it turned into America versus the...
Chinese.
Yeah, the Chinese. And the Chinese and Americans had a... We had a great Olympics in 84. It was a lot of fun. The Chinese were fantastic at diving. That was really where they shone through. And gymnastics as well. They were not... too great. The track and field was fantastic. It was us against the Romanians and all those fantastic long distance. There was little Zola Budd from South Africa. She was the story. She ran in bare feet. Mary Decker Slaney, who fell down as the result of some mishap on the track and started crying and wailing and squealing. And everybody was kind of upset with her because she wasn't acting like much of a woman. It was great. It was fantastic. I fell in love with her that day. I love women that cry. Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you tomorrow.